Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, you were telling me you were watching something on TV.
I switched on the news the other day and they had a story. They had three old North Adelaide players. Barry Robram was one of them. They were talking about the winning of the Champions of Australia Cup back in, I might get this
1972.
Wrong. Well, I was just about to say 1972. And it did make me think of you because I thought Rob will be all over this. But, I mean, back in the day I played North Adelaide Juniors, and so I sort of always had an interest, even though Centrals was probably my team. I was slightly out of the area for Centrals.
You dogs.
And it was just, I thought, wow, this is a great story, and it sort of brought back some memories.
Look, I was at the game, and throughout my life I've always looked back at three SNFL games – which, in my opinion, cemented my love of the game and the love of the competition. In 1971, when Centrals beat Sturt in the first semi, that meant a real lot to me, and it was like Central's premiership until we actually started winning them in 2000. 72, this particular game, where North Adelaide won by a point, and the following year, 1973, when Glenelg beat North in the epic grand final, the last grand final at Adelaide Oval before they switched to Football Park. So those three games have always played a major part in my thinking and love of the game of footy in the SNFL.
Well, it was certainly watching a little bit of the footage on the news. It was the crowds were big and noisy. I was thinking also, when did they stop that concept of, like, because they obviously had they had Tasmania there, they had a team from Tassie, I think it was East Perth, Carlton, obviously, and North
City South from Tasmania.
When did they stop that concept?
Well, you know, back in the 1800s and the early 1900s up to around about before World War One, they had the occasional Premier of South Australia playing the Premier of Victoria for a Championship of Australia title. Norwood had won a few, Port had won a few, West had won at least one or two. And then what happened is it went in abeyance. And then in 1968, they resurrected it, and it was a Victorian Premier against a South Australian Premier. And Victoria won those first few. And then in 1972, they introduced Western Australia and Tasmania premiership teams. And then that continued till about 75. And then they bought what was called the Arnett Cup in, which had more teams in it from the States. And then it sort of diminished after that. They no longer had it. But I remember that one in 1972. It was such an unusual occurrence because it was supposed to be played on the October long weekend. But in Victoria in the second semi, Richmond and Carlton had a draw, so it put everything back a week. So, in fact, the Championship of Australia was played on a Saturday and a Sunday rather than a Saturday and a Monday. And then poor Carlton had to face East Perth and Big Mal Brown on the Saturday, and he sort of did a bit of damage with his roughneck play.
Well, they showed that. It was pretty funny because, again, it's not something that you see anymore, but I think he took out nearly five of their players, and there was he wasn't holding back.
But at the end of the day, North still won the final, which was so memorable. But, you know, there was a situation there where Alex Jesolenko stood and applauded the work of Barry Robram, who was a just absolute superstar at the time. But it's something that has gone down in law for football, how Jesolenko did that. And you've got to remember, the following year, the 73 or 74, there was a state game at Adelaide Oval, Victoria and South Australia. Jesolenko kicked 10 goals and they only won by like 2 goals, but Jesolenko was the difference. So he was brilliant in his own, himself, yet he applauded Barry Robram.
Well, I mean, Barry Robram is legend, isn't he, really, in SA football? And they had Robert Wall, they asked him for comment in this article, the news article that I saw, and he said that the Carlton players were just in awe of him on the day and what he was capable of doing. And, of course, he and others, and he said this in this interview, that, of course, if he'd come and played in the VFL at the time, which some players did, he would have easily dominated that competition as well.
No, he didn't. And at the time you had Barry Robram and Russell Ebert. Now, Russell went over in 1979 and played a season for North Melbourne and did well. So, you know, that was late in Russell's career. And if Barry went over at the time when he was brilliant, he would have won Brownlow medals.
Well, it's a shame, isn't it? Again, we've talked about like dominance or Victorian dominated football in this country, of course, and he, because he didn't play in the VFL, there's still debate, isn't there?
Yeah.
And this, oh, he could have done this, he could have done that, but we should just recognise that he is considered one of the greatest players in his era.
Well, you know, the thing is, a lot of people who have only really grown up following the AFL probably don't realise that the SNFL was not quite the equal of the VFL, but it was like between 5 to 10% behind it, whereas nowadays, of course, it's miles behind.
Yes, and that's why that concept wouldn't work anymore, would it? But, of course, we remember those State of Origin games, and obviously this was a bit before my time, but certainly being part of North Adelaide for a few years, like that was still something that was clearly evident in the club rooms, et cetera. That was something that people still remembered and talked about. So, of course, that concept's dead and gone. But even State of Origin back then through that sort of 70s and 80s and so on,
80s and 90s, yeah.
SA still dominated. And you could see that the SANFL competition was a very, very strong competition. And, of course, think about all the players that got poached to go over there and play VFL.
John Platton and Brad Kernahan
and
Steve Kernahan and all that, you know, Tony McGinnis, all these players. And, you know, it's sort of SANFL through the 80s was really, really strong. But then that happened, and that's what led to the formation of the Adelaide Crows, because we were just losing too many players.
Well, it's bound to happen, and you know, if, as that competition gets bigger and bigger and there's the lure of extra money and so on and setting yourself up for life, then you can't blame players. But at the time, there was a lot of angst for players who did move, wasn't there?
Oh, there was. I mean, it, you know, people say to me, oh, it's only, you know, been the 80s when they started to lose them, but South Australia and other states lost a lot of players to the VFL back in the 60s and 70s. I mean, Darryl Baldock, you know, for St Kilda came from Tasmania. Alex Jesuenko actually came from Canberra, you know. So it's Malcolm Blight won a Brownlow medal, South Australian. So through the 70s, 60s, it already had started.
Of course, yeah.
Now, we're going back to that game, you know, my memory of the game was there was a wicked wind, and it made scoring difficult. But North Adelaide had the wind in the first quarter. And, you know, at quarter time, sort of, it was 3-5 each. So really, you know, Carlton had the upper hand. And then, you know, by half time, they were like 2-4 up. And then North had the wind in the third quarter and they fought back. But they were still 5 points behind. And North Carlton kicked the first goal in the last quarter. So it was 11 points. Most people would have thought, well, that's it. But I remember big Dennis Sash kicked a goal, made it 5 points, and it stayed that way for so long. And it would have been probably about the 15-minute mark or thereabouts when Webb ran in and he kicked that goal to put North up by a point. And back in those days, the time clock was a manual clock, and the games were 25 minutes plus time on. Time on was only a couple of minutes. And I remember sort of like every kick, every time sort of there was a bit of relief. You looked at the time clock and it just didn't seem to move. And then it got to the 25-minute mark, so you're thinking, oh, just hang on a couple more minutes. And then I remember Darryl Webb was coming down the wing and he kicked it off the side of his boot and it went out of bounds, but it was well clear of Carlton's goal, and the siren went and the jubilation. And, you know, I was a Central District supporter, but I felt like, you know, so jubilant about it because it was a South Australian team beating a Victorian team.
I wanted to ask, what was it like in the crowd since you were there at that point? Because, like, again, watching it, the little bit they had on the TV, it was, I mean, remember, and those big streamer pom-poms, I don't know what you call them, you know, like back in the day
streamers,
they used to have, and, you know, over the cheer squads had, and it was just, but the sound and the atmosphere at the end. The players, you could see, they were exuberant, but like so fatigued, but the crowd just went crazy.
You know, in great moments in your life, moments that are memorable, that you capture the moment in your mind and you never forget it. And it, to me, being at that particular game, and like I said, the year before when Robert Mulholland kicked 5 goals in the last quarter in the first semi and Central beat Sturt for the first time, in 73, I remember in 73 that grand final, I was standing on the steps of the John Creswell stand, which is sort of where it became the Don Bradman stand. Now it's the Riverbank stand. That I was on the steps there, and when Graham Corns took that famous mark and converted the goal to put Glenelg 1 point up, they ended up winning by 7 points. I kicked a goal just after the siren. but I almost felt like I could reach out and touch it. But those three games, the atmosphere, the colour, everything sticks in your mind. And for you to be put in perspective of how it felt to be there, how did you feel when you won the gold medal at the Commonwealth Games? Do you remember that?
Of course, yes.
Well, that's what it's like. It's even though it wasn't a personal achievement by myself.
You were part of it.
Yeah, and it was just so good. And in fact, I probably remember games and experiences more fondly than I do personal achievements.
Yeah, no, I did wonder about when the ball was kicked out of bounds by Darryl Webb, because it was funny, they had a little bit of comment between him and Barry. Barry said, I think I said something, Darryl, that was a silly thing to do. but I did wonder whether then someone in the crowd might have just held on to the football. Well, because back then, I don't imagine they'd had a spare footy ready to go. You would have had to wait for the footy. I guess they would have pressed time on, would they, or stopped the clock?
You know, that's a point. Time on sort of was mainly when a goal was kicked and the ball came back. And of course, when it went out of bounds, yes. But the thing is that the song kind of went like seconds afterwards. Okay. So it wasn't like a...
I thought someone might have just hidden the ball up under their jumper.
That's a good question. And I'll tell you another little story about the footage of the particular game. And you saw the footage of the Carlton-East Perth game. There's been quite a bit of footage of that game, but there's only the 90 seconds that remain from the actual game between North and Carlton. And I know people, it's a holy grail of chasing video. Everyone's been chasing that for so long, North LA people included. And it's been lost. And people have claimed that they've got it and things like that. And even myself, I've contacted Channel 7 and Rothman, who used to sort of do the footages. And, you know, the thing is it just isn't there. And there's
only a mystery. Where did it go?
Well, we're still looking for it. So, holy grail. Now, I do have a contact of someone that said they've got the last quarter, but you can't watch the vision, but you can hear the sound. I'm sort of trying to get that. So that would be good in itself, just to hear the last quarter.
Well, it really is history, isn't it, for South Australian, for SANFL football, because those days are gone now for SANFL, haven't they? And again, it is, when I was watching, I thought, this really is history that can never be repeated.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that through my love of football and growing up, I often heard people talk about the 1963 state game where South Australia beat Victoria by 7 points in Melbourne. And then, of course, there's the South LA's premiership in 1964. People still talk about that now. Now, that's a little bit before my time. I wasn't conscious about that at the time because I was only a young kid. But the 71, 72, 73 games are my holy grails of memories. And I suppose there'll be people that have similar memories about the 80s and 90s because of the impressionable aspects of that to stay in their memories.
Yeah. And Barry Robin and Darryl Webb both said they remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, I remember it like yesterday. As soon as you said to me, you want to talk about this, they came flooding back. And as you know, I'm a journalist. And in their football budget this year, I actually wrote a 2-page article about North LA's being champions of Australia. And it gave me so much pleasure. I've written about it previously as well. But it's just one of those memories that it's going to be there until dementia finishes me.
So not far away.
Thank you very much, Sean. So is another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.